Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this morning's message, Noah, a Sinner Saved by Grace. We read in Genesis chapter 9 of this last portion of Noah's life. We read beginning in verse 20. As I said, this is the last thing recorded concerning this remarkable man, Noah. We read in Genesis chapter 20, or chapter 9, verse 20, and Noah began to be an husbandman and planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, that's his third son, his youngest son, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He was seeking to have his father exposed. He was telling his brothers of the shameful conduct of his father. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, a blanket, I suppose, and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. They didn't want to see their father's nakedness. They made sure they did not see their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Now Canaan was the son of Ham, and it could be that it was Canaan who first saw the drunkenness of Noah, his grandfather, and went and told Ham about it. And Ham went and told his brothers about this. Now, we don't know how long Noah and his family had been off the ark. It was some time, because Ham didn't have a son when he got off the ark, and now he has a son, Canaan. So it's been several years that have taken place. And Noah becomes a farmer, and he plants a vineyard. He drinks of the wine and becomes drunken. As a matter of fact, he passed out, because when it says he woke up from his wine. Now, that's shameful conduct. It's sin. It's wrong. There's no justification of it. But here he is, laying naked, passed out in his tent. Ham sees it. Ham wants to expose his father. Have you ever wanted to see someone exposed? That's the way Ham was. He wanted his father to be exposed. He wanted his sin to be seen. So he goes and tells his brothers about it, and they'd have none of it. They took a blanket upon their shoulders, walked into the tent backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. Now, what are we to learn from this? Number one, only the Bible tells the truth. Now, let me repeat that. Only the Bible tells the truth about me and you. Now, if I'm writing my own autobiography, I'm going to make it look a whole lot better than it really is. I'm always going to try to present myself in a more positive light. I'm going to try to impress you. I'm not going to really be honest, but the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, and it tells the truth. And here we have the truth of this man Noah, this final chapter of his life, this shameful sin that he committed. And the Bible makes no attempt at covering up. It's a part of the inspired record given for our good. And I hope you'll see how this is given to teach us something. Now, the second thing I would like to say about this is Noah was clearly still a sinner. He was a sinner before he went into the ark. When he came out of the ark, he was still a sinner. Noah was a sinner. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. Noah was still, after all he'd experienced, clearly a sinner. Now, he was a saint. He was a man of faith. He was a man who feared God. He was a man who walked with God. He was called in the New Testament a preacher of righteousness. He was a man that God had saved, truly. And he was still a sinner. Now, every believer that is not in heaven is still a sinner. Now, listen carefully. While a believer has been born again and has a new nature, a holy nature, birthed by the Spirit of God, given a new nature that was not there before, he still has the same old nature that he was born with, a sinful nature, and that nature never gets better. You don't become more holy, you don't become less sinful. That old man, Paul described it like this in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In that description in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, that still describes the old nature of the believer. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am. Not that I was, but that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, Noah was still a sinner. Now, the third thing I'd like to say is Noah is an example of salvation by grace. Noah, a sinner, saved by grace. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah was a sinful man, just like I am, just like you are. He was a sinful man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah is such a clear illustration of God's grace. God told Noah to build an ark, and there was salvation only in the ark. Everybody in the ark was saved. Everyone outside of the ark was drowned. God's grace, God's favor was in the ark. And understand this, God's grace, God's favor is in Christ. If you're going to have God's favor, you must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's favor is nowhere outside of Christ. There's nothing but justice and wrath, but in Christ there is God's favor. Let me say this about God's grace. God's grace is eternal grace. You know what that means? That means if God gives you His grace, you have always, before time even began, been the object of His grace. It's called election, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Thank God for election, the eternal grace of God. We read, He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. His grace is sovereign grace. You know what that means? He's the cause of it. Grace is not God responding to you asking Him to do anything. He says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Now, if anyone has a problem with that, it's because you think you deserve grace. It's because you think you deserve mercy. If you find fault with God with this, you've all of a sudden become God's judge. I wouldn't do it that way. Watch out. That's a dangerous place to be. God's grace is sovereign grace. And God's grace is saving grace. Grace is not an offer. Grace is salvation. By grace ye are saved. He doesn't offer you grace. He saves you by His grace. And God's grace is free grace. Being justified freely by His grace. Nothing you need to do to measure up. Nothing you need to pay. His grace is absolutely free. If you got anything to pay, He won't give it to you. He only gives it freely. And God's grace is righteous grace. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. There's nothing unclean about God's grace. Sin is punished. The believer is justified because his sins were punished in Christ. Christ's righteousness is given to him. God's righteousness and holiness is exalted in the gospel of His grace. Noah was the example of a sinner saved by grace. What an example. Now let's consider his son for a moment, Ham. What Noah did was sinful. It was a shameful thing. It cannot be excused. It cannot be justified. No one's trying to justify Noah. What he did was a sinful thing. And as he lays naked in his tent, there's significance to nakedness. What's the first thing Adam and Eve knew after they ate of the fruit? They knew they were naked. Nakedness represents human sinfulness. Now, they were naked before they ate of the fruit, but they didn't have a sinful nature. It wasn't even an issue with them. But now they have sinful natures, and they knew they were naked. That's when they went and tried to hide from God and tried to provide their own covering, that fig leaf covering, which was no good. Now, here he lies in his nakedness, and that represents sin. Now, Ham sees his father in the tent, and I can imagine the things he was thinking. You know, that he probably had something against his father. And he said, look at that hypocrite. He talks about walking with God. He talks about following God. He talks about obeying God. Look at him. He's nothing more than a hypocrite. Look at him laying there drunk in the tent. I'm going to let everybody know about this. Love covers a transgression. If you love somebody, you don't want them exposed. But he had bitterness toward his father. And he wanted his father exposed. Now, this is a greater sin than the sin of Noah. This desire to have him exposed because there's such hatred in the heart involved. Have you ever wanted to see somebody exposed? Sure you have. You know what it demonstrates? How bad you are. Me too. I've thought of people that I felt like have wronged me, and I've wanted them to be exposed. And if I wouldn't expose them, I'd hope somebody else would. Or if nobody else would, I hope it ended up happening to them. And all that shows is the badness and rottenness of my heart. When Ham wanted his father exposed, it was so contrary to love. Completely contrary. Love covers a transgression. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love covers all things with silence. Ham did not have this love. And you know when you want somebody's sin to be exposed? Here's the problem. There's a lot of problems with it. But Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. You look at someone. Now, in this thing of judging, that doesn't mean you don't have a moral opinion, but if you look at the fall of anybody and stand in judgment against them and think, I wouldn't have done that. They should be punished. They should be judged. They should be exposed. Listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Now, that's what the Word of God says. Whatever you're judging somebody for, it's an act of pure hypocrisy, because even while you're judging them, you're committing the same sins. Somebody says, I'm not. Well, God says you are. I'm going to go with what God says rather than what you say or what I say. This is God's testimony. And for me to want somebody exposed and to show them up shows the rottenness of my own heart. That's what Ham was demonstrating. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, you'd want people to cover your sins, wouldn't you? You'd want people to not expose you. And everything Ham was doing was contrary to that. It was an act of pure hypocrisy. Now, if I really believe myself to be a sinner, do I? I'm asking myself that question. If I really believe myself to be a sinner, I will feel completely unqualified to judge anybody about anything. Now, if I don't feel that way, I don't really believe myself to be a sinner in the scriptural sense. But if I believe myself to be a sinner, I'll feel unqualified because of my own personal sinfulness. I'm unqualified to stand as anybody's judge with regard to anything. Now, the only thing I'm to judge is whether or not I'm hearing the gospel. And the Lord says, judge righteous judgment. I need to judge whether or not I'm hearing the gospel of grace or a message of works that doesn't give me any hope. But as far as judging somebody, I've got no right, nor does any other man. Now, Ham exposed the rottenness of his heart in seeking to expose his father. Love covereth a transgression. Now, let's look at Shem and Japheth's actions. Now, Ham goes and tells them about, go look at Dad lying drunk in the tent, naked. They wouldn't have any part of it. They didn't want to do that. Look what it says they did. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. They didn't want to. They loved him. They didn't want him to be exposed. They didn't want, you know, these boys obviously believe themselves to be sinners. They knew they were not more righteous than their father. They saw who they were, and they didn't want to take part in this conduct. They never saw the nakedness of their father. Now, in this, we have a beautiful picture of the gospel. I'm Noah, sinful. Christ Jesus covers my sin with his blood. And he does not see my sin. Now, that's the gospel. Let me tell you a story about David. This is one of the biggest cover-ups in the scripture. David was up on the rooftop when he should have been out in battle with the armies of Israel, but he was loitering on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba. And she was, the scripture says, beautiful to look upon. She was bathing, and he saw that. Now, the king could do whatever he wanted, and with a horrible abuse of power, he had somebody go get Bathsheba, bring her to him. And this is David, the man after God's own heart. We see clearly David was still a sinner. He was a saved sinner, but he was a sinner. He sees this woman, and he has her, through a horrible abuse of his own power, brought to him. He commits adultery with her. She becomes with child. And in order to try to cover it up, he tried to get her husband back in from the army. And her husband was a fine man, Uriah. He's in the list of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. But he gets him drunk, tries to get him to go into his wife. And he's such an honorable man, he won't do it. He says, the armies of Israel are staying out in the field. I'm not going to go sleep with my wife. So he made several attempts to get him to do so. And when he saw it wouldn't work, he gave him a letter. He knew what a faithful man he was. And he knew he wouldn't open it. He said, you give this letter to Joab. So he told Joab, you take him to the hottest point of battle, move back away from him, let him get killed. And this man had his own death warrant in a letter, and he was such a faithful man, David knew he wouldn't open it. So he gives it to Joab, and sure enough, that's what takes place. Joab is implicated in this to kill this man, and he was killed. David committed cold-blooded, premeditated murder in order to cover up his own sin. You know, the scripture says the thing David did displeased the Lord. And David went on like this for some time. And finally, the child of Bathsheba had already been born, so it had been over a year. And the Lord sends a prophet to him by the name of Nathan. And Nathan tells a story. He tells a story about a man who had a little lamb that he treated it like his child. It ate at his table with his family. Oh, he loved this lamb. And this man was a poor man. He had a rich neighbor who had many sheep. And somebody came to visit his rich neighbor. And he said, I don't want to use one of my sheep, but I'm going to go get that fella's sheep. And he went and took that man's little lamb and slew it and fed it to his company to make sure he didn't have to kill any of his lambs. Now, when David heard that story, he said, that man's going to die. He'll surely die. David was angry. He was furious. And Nathan said, thou art the man. You're the one who's done this. You know, one of the things I see in that story is, why is it that we can see so clearly other people's sin and we're so not quick to see our own? David wasn't, but now he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan says, the Lord hath put away thy sin. You see, it had already been put away. And this is when David wrote Psalm 32. First he wrote Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance. And he wrote Psalm 32, and here's what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, in this story of these two boys covering up their father, we have a picture of the gospel. Here's what the Lord does for every believer. First, he forgives their sin. You know, that's where salvation begins. It doesn't end with the forgiveness of sins. It begins with the full, free, complete forgiveness of sin. And here's why that sin was given. It was covered. Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin was covered. Now, that sin was not only covered, it was not imputed to me. It's not denying the reality of my commission of the sin. Everything you think about yourself, that you think, well, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, it's true. I've committed this sin, I've committed that sin. That's not going to go away, that's true. But if you're a believer, here's your only hope, that God doesn't charge you with that sin. Well, how can that be right? Because he charged it to his son. His son was made sin. The sins that I've committed, he bore in his own body on the tree. He became guilty of those sins, and he died under the wrath of God for those sins, and the very righteousness of his son is given to me. Oh, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose iniquity is not imputed to him. Oh, what blessedness. And we have the gospel in that illustration of these boys with their love for their Father. Now, if you're one of the Lord's people, He loves you. He forgives your sin. He puts it away. He covers it. He doesn't impute it to you. He gives you the very righteousness of His Son. That is the gospel. Now, verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And what took place? And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Christ came through Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That's a picture of being in Christ. And Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Here's the end of this blessed man's life. Now, and he died. There are three words used in the scripture that describes the death of the believer. Noah was a believer. These words describe the death of every believer. First, blessed. Blessed are those that die. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. You see, if I'm in the Lord, my death is blessed. The best day of my life is the day of my death, because I'm going to awake in perfect likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to be in His presence, sitting at His feet. Another word used to describe the believer's death is precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. It's precious to the Lord. Anytime one of His saints die, like a Noah or any other believer, it's precious in the sight of the Lord, because He loves that individual. That individual is going to spend eternity with Him. He gave Himself for that individual. And then there's the word gain. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's true of Noah. That's true of every believer. He died blessed, precious, and gain. We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.